Thank you, Jonga, and blessing. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, February 17th, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Jonga Kandemiring.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, or PTUZ, says the Zimbabwe Republic Police has denied it permission to stage a peaceful march to commemorate the internationally recognized Global Day of Action.
We've just been advised that we cannot undertake that peaceful petition march, but we've been advised to go and commemorate the event in the Harare Garden.
Some Zimbabwean groups are expected this Saturday to stage a street protest in London to call for President Robert Mugabe to step down for what they say is his failure to address serious issues affecting the nation.
This demo is basically to remind the ZANU-PF government that they have failed and that it's time for them to leave in a peaceful way. We do not want to have Zimbabwe drawn over the edge.
And Secretary General Priscilla Msahera Mbumshonga of the MDC wing led by Welshman Ncube has stepped down. The Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, or PTUZ, says the Zimbabwe Republic Police has denied it permission to stage a peaceful march to commemorate the internationally recognized Global Day of Action. PTUZ General Secretary Raymond Majongwe says they had planned to mark the day, which is set aside for workers worldwide, to commemorate their right to strike by marching from Harare Gardens to Labour Minister Priska Mpfumira's offices at Mkwati Building, where they wanted to hand over a petition. The commemoration involves Education International, International Trade Union Confederation, and the International Labour Organization. Majongwe tells Studio 7 his union is going to write a letter to the government registering its displeasure at the manner the police handled their case.
We were summoned by the police in the morning and we were told at about 11:45 to bring back a letter at 12 p.m., a 15-minute interval, which was supposed to explain the route that we were going to take. It was also supposed to put to them the number of participants who were going to be the ushers, and we were also supposed to write a letter to the Zimbabwe Republic Police Traffic Section, and it was almost impossible. But the other thing that they were telling us was that we were supposed to produce a letter from the ministry that they were going to be ready to accept our letter. And also, it was a clear impossibility because, one, they knew that the minister was not in the office, so we were told. And secondly, the ministry also was under pressure from the police. I don't know about what. And ultimately, just a few minutes ago, we've just been advised that we cannot undertake that peaceful petition march, but we've been advised to go and commemorate the event in the Harare Gardens.
What are you going to do next?
Apparently, it's very clear. We are going to write a very strong protest letter to government. We are also going to inform Education International in the ILO about this heavy-handedness that has become characteristic of our police. Zimbabwe is not a military police state. We are supposed to be enjoying our rights in a free country where democracy is not just thriving, but is seen to be thriving. And the opposite is true. We are not being allowed to exercise our rights as workers.
That was PTUZ General Secretary Raymond Majongwe in Harare with Studio 7. Zimbabwe Teachers Association Chief Executive Officer Sifiso Ndlovu says they will commemorate the day on Friday because they've other commitments already lined up for tomorrow. Police were not available for comment as the spokesperson was not responding to calls made to his mobile phone.
Meanwhile, some Zimbabwean opposition and human rights groups are expected this Saturday to stage street protests in London and here in Washington, D.C., to call for President Robert Mugabe to step down for what they say is his failure to address serious issues affecting the nation. According to organizers of the event, which will bring together about 10 organizations outside the Zimbabwe embassy, the protests are designed to coincide with the president's 91st birthday to be celebrated in Victoria Falls on the same day. Wilbert Mukuri of the Zimbabwe Social Democrats tells the Studio 7's Gibbs Dube his organization will take part in the demonstrations, in which they will also express their displeasure over the country's high unemployment rate, declining economy, and other issues affecting Zimbabweans.
Well, this demo is basically to remind the ZANU-PF government that they have failed and that it's time for them to leave in a peaceful way. We do not want to have Zimbabwe drawn over the edge like what happened in Libya and Syria.
So now, talking about this demonstration, what is the message here?
The message is to the regime itself and the message to the rest of the Zimbabwean population that we really have got now to concentrate on how are we going to change. Because the political situation in Zimbabwe, the economic situation is such that it cannot go on. It's not sustainable. Corruption and mismanagement has destroyed the nation's economy. 90% of the people are out of work. No nation can continue to exist with so many people desperately poor. That is the message we are trying to send out.
So do you see any solution in sight?
There are no jobs. Zim Asset has failed completely. What we have got to be careful about is we do not want to push the people to the point where they become so desperate they will be rioting in the streets. That is what we are really trying to emphasize in the group that we are going to meet on Saturday.
That was Wilbert Mukuri of the Zimbabwe Social Democrats speaking with Studio 7 from London. But ZANU-PF activist Morris Ngwenya dismissed the demonstrations as unethical.
I don't know whether they have been affected by the Western culture, if ever they came from Zimbabwe. But certainly, I have never seen such an uncouth culture whereby people don't wish someone a happy birthday. If they have grievances, they should know where to take them to. There is an High Commission of Zimbabwe in London, and that is where they are supposed to take their grievances. If ever they want to exercise their democratic right to demonstrate, yes, they can do that, but not to say something negative on someone's birthday, to say the least. Besides, this is the president of Zimbabwe who has been elected by millions of Zimbabweans, and Africa has rallied behind the election of Zimbabweans, and they have endorsed him to become the AU chairman, who is also the SADC chairman. So it's really unfortunate that some people try to seek attention unnecessarily.
So in this case, they are telling the president to just leave because they are claiming that he has not done anything for the country. Instead, they are saying he has actually destroyed Zimbabwe.
Well, do they expect him to do something for Britain or what? How can they be demonstrating about Zimbabwe when they're in UK? And what do they talk about? What do they know that they can talk about in that country?
And that was ZANU-PF activist Morris Ngwenya speaking with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube from Harare.
Former ZANU-PF Secretary for Administration Didmus Mutasa says President Robert Mugabe has spent all of his overtures to try and meet to talk about their fallout after the party's congress last December. Attempts to reach President Mugabe's spokesman, George Charamba, were futile as his phone went unanswered. Mutasa was ousted from government together with former Vice President Joyce Mujuru. He is taking the party to court, challenging the outcome of the Congress. He says Mr. Mugabe's insults, like calling him, quote, a braying donkey, strengthened his resolve to seek relief in the courts. Studio 7's Blessing Zulu asked him about his attempts to meet Mr. Mugabe.
I have written a number of letters to him. He hasn't responded to those letters. And so, because I'm junior, I just sit back and do nothing.
But the argument that they are pursuing now is that, Mr. Mutasa was the secretary for administration at that time and is the one who was actually inviting the delegates, and he also had the agenda of the Congress.
That's very true. Not only that, I also raised all the funds that were used at the Congress, but that is neither here nor there. What we are talking about is the illegality of that Congress and its proceedings, which were not in line with our Constitution. And therefore, the proceedings were null and void, and the outcome was unlawful.
But did you raise these concerns prior to the Congress, Mr. Mtasa?
I didn't know that it was going to happen like that. I mean, you only cross bridges when you come to them. I didn't know that the conference was going to be held like that. And so there was nothing to complain about. But after the event, and we have seen what transpired, then we can complain quite rightly.
But this plot had been simmering for a long time to oust the likes of you, Amai Mjuru, and others. When would you say these problems started with your colleagues in the party?
They just came up suddenly. I mean, we were all caught by surprise when the president started to shout about his own deputy, the vice president of the party, being told off publicly by her superior. That has never happened anywhere in the history of our country or anywhere else in the world.
That was former ZANU-PF Secretary for Administration Didmus Mutasa speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Headlands.
Direct from Washington, the voice of America.
Hypercube Hub, a space for entrepreneurs, innovators, and digital startups today, hosted an entrepreneurship day aimed at sharing insights on growing businesses. The event, which included information panels, hosted 8 American-based investors, mentors to Zimbabwean and Zambian entrepreneurs who visited the United States last year on a Meridian International Fellowship Program. The day focused on plugging into various sectors and programs throughout the country to help Zimbabwean entrepreneurs to better understand the context in which they work in and how to expand their day-to-day activities. Events with the American investors are expected to last the remainder of the week before they jet off to be hosted in Zambia. Reporter Tatenda Gumbo spoke to Rinesh Desai, chairman and co-founder of Hypercube Hub, who explains how Hypercube is playing its part in creating new businesses.
Hypercube is an innovation hub. We're a co-working space that is supporting young entrepreneurs that are looking to build businesses in the digital space.
And how exactly do young entrepreneurs come into your organization?
It's still very early days for us. We've only been in existence 14 months. We try to access entrepreneurs from universities and technical institutions nearby in and around Harare. We try to catch them from high school level through various programs and workshops that they come in, and then from there get them to participate in actually building their businesses using our facilities, resources, and access to mentors.
Can you talk about how the response has been?
It's been an incredible journey for us. It's been an incredible learning experience for us as well. We have looked at how other hubs have operated and established themselves around the continent, and we've been fortunate enough to be able to learn from some of their mistakes and some of their experiences, and we've been able to sort of try to apply that within the Zimbabwean context with the unique challenges that entrepreneurs face in Zimbabwe.
And can you talk about some of those challenges?
There's not much cash flow in the market. As a result, there are not many investment opportunities that entrepreneurs can access. Banks are not supporting greenfield businesses, for example. So startups struggle when they try to raise capital to build their businesses. It's also very difficult for us to create international linkages when you don't know how things work out there.
That was Rinesh Desai, chairman and co-founder of Hypercube Hub, speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
Secretary-General Priscilla Misahera Mbwemushonga of the MDC wing led by Welshman Ncube has stepped down from her position and is now an ordinary card-carrying member of the party. Since she is still a member of the party, Mushonga remains a member of parliament representing Matabeleland South under proportional representation. According to the party's constitution, the deputy secretary general, Moses Muzila Ndlovu, becomes the new secretary general.
Mushonga has been under pressure from some members of the party who were against her nomination in the proportional representation seat for Matabeleland South, a region that she does not come from. Some senior members of the party resigned, citing the nomination as their reason. Party Vice President Edwin Mushoriwa said the party accepted the resignation with a heavy heart because Mushonga was a very effective member of the party. Mushoriwa told Studio 7 Mushonga cited pressure of work as the main reason that she was stepping down.
Unless we believe that Mrs. Mushonga is a dedicated cadre of the party and has done tremendous work for the party, and we hope that she will continue to do exceedingly great things in her portfolio as a member of parliament.
What were the reasons that she gave for this move?
She stepped down on her own volition, on her own personal reasons. He has not indicated much apart from the fact that she wanted to continue serving the party in a less demanding position.
Now, who takes over her position?
Well, constitutionally, the Deputy Secretary General of the party, Honorable Muzila Ndlovu, will take over as the Secretary General with immediate effect.
That was Edwin Mushoriwa, Vice President of the MDC wing led by Welshman Ncube. He spoke on the line with Studio 7 from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
a closer look at Zimbabwe's economy as the country struggles with a high unemployment rate.
But first, a look at regional and international news.
The UN Human Rights Chief is calling on Libyans to overcome crippling political divisions that have fractured the country and unite against extremism in the wake of the grisly revelation that Islamic State militants beheaded 21 Christian Egyptian workers there.
Multiple explosions were reported Tuesday at two locations inside increasingly volatile Nigeria. A reporter for VOA's Hausa service says at least three blasts hit a military checkpoint in the northern eastern town of Beyo.
And Dominique Strauss-Kahn is expected to hear today what punishment, if any, prosecutors seek against him on pimping charges after two ex-prostitutes dropped a civil suit against the former IMF chief.
Zimbabwe and the European Union yesterday penned a $270 million deal to resume direct funding after a 13-year hiatus. The financing deal is under the National Indicative Program, or NIP, targeted at socio-economic projects for the next 6 years. The resumption of ties with the West has also seen some potential investors coming to Zimbabwe from Britain, France, Russia, Belgium, and China. The developments also comes in the wake of a report from the Zimbabwe National Statistics Agency, or ZIMSTAT, that Zimbabwe inflation slid to -1.28% in January from December's rate of -0.8%. Central Bank Chief John Mangujga says the decline in inflation rate is a necessary step towards price correction. Mangujga says it increases the consumer purchasing power and is good for business. to discuss the state of the economy, Studio 7's Blessing Zulu reached Vice President of the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce, Davidson Norupiri, who says the EU-Zimbabwe deal is significant.
This is a very positive arrangement which we are all cherishing, and because what it means to business is that obviously the whole world actually, because of this arrangement, will have confidence and will actually want to come to see for themselves what is exactly happening in the country. And I strongly believe it's a follow-up on some trips which were made to Europe and also some European parliamentarians which were invited by Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce. So we really feel there is great improvement in terms of the relation. And we are actually seeing that they are now seeing the real and true picture of Zimbabwe.
There were some business delegations from Britain and other European countries. What are they saying to you about investing in Zimbabwe?
The business delegations which are coming, actually, they are actually very positive, and they are more than willing to invest in Zimbabwe. Most of them, they are actually coming in as the first time in trying to check and to prove for themselves what they are actually getting of late. They are looking at quite a number of industries, and they are also looking at infrastructure and energy. That's where they are keen in. So basically, we are just waiting for quite a number of them to come back. Because of late, we received some delegations from Britain, we received some delegations from France, we also received some delegations from China. The Asian community has always been coming to see for themselves. But of course, it's actually being witnessed by the mega deals which are actually coming out now, for example, the expansion of the Kariba.
But another concern, Mr. Norupiri, is the infrastructure that some are saying is deteriorating, such as roads, access to water. You also talked about rehabilitating the Kariba hydroelectric power, which is significant.
As far as we are concerned, we really cherish the government, because if you look at some improvements, for example, the roads and also on the energy sector, as well as on water, if you look at City of Harare, there is actually an arrangement which they have with the Chinese, whereby they are really upgrading the motor in Jeffrey. So those arrangements were actually made when we were actually sailing through a rough patch in terms of sanctions and so forth. So those were actually survival strategies, and they've proved to yield some good results. So government is really doing very well as far as we are concerned. I think you know very well that Zimbabwe, we went through the hyperinflation environment, whereby in any economy, in any country, people could have just closed the doors and surrendered. But as a country, our government and the people of Zimbabwe, they were very much resilient, to the extent that they are managing to resuscitate some of the infrastructure. It's actually very much trafficable if you are looking at the roads. And also, if you look at power generation, we have never had a total blackout in this country. That's why you find that quite a number of investors are really keen, because they are actually surprised how we managed to make it during the most difficult time. And for their businesses, obviously, the businesses will survive, because as long as we get the FDI which we want, I think this economy will actually be one of the biggest economies in Africa.
That was Vice President of the Zimbabwe National Chamber of Commerce, Davidson Norupiri, speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare. Meanwhile, workers and employers are still reeling over proposals by Central Bank Governor John Mangujga to freeze wages. Reporter Taurai Shava is more.
Speaking to Studio 7 in Gweri yesterday, Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions President George Nkiwane said while the ZCTU respects Mangujga's role as the government's chief advisor on the economy, neither the Reserve Bank head nor the government should interfere in wage issues, as these can be dealt with by relevant institutions that represent employers and workers.
We have well-established the social dialogue processes here in Zimbabwe at plant level, that is at enterprise level, as well as at NEC, that is the National Employment Council level. So those two platforms are well informed to come up with a decision as to whether they are going to award a salary increase or not. As long as facts are put on the table, both parties to that negotiating table will agree on a course of action or the way forward.
Nkiwane said, contrary to popular belief, that wages are one of the highest costs for employers in Zimbabwe, research has shown that local workers are among the least paid in the region, adding that his organization is planning to demonstrate over Mangujga's utterances. Speaking to Studio 7 about the resuscitation of the National Joint Negotiating Forum, bringing the government and civil servants together, Chairperson Richard Gundani of the Apex Council representing civil servants also said that his organization is against Mangujga's suggestion. Some workers who spoke to Studio 7 said that they were already underpaid and having a wage freeze would leave them in serious problems. A worker who only identified herself as Tekla and works for the Gweru branch of one of the country's leading supermarket chains shares this view.
Salary freezing is really going to impact negatively on our day-to-day lives because presently I'm earning around $250, which is not even suffice for the basics, so we cannot really survive.
Didmus Dewa, a peace, conflict resolution and development studies lecturer with the Zimbabwe Open University, speaking as an independent analyst, says it would be wrong to conclude that all companies are experiencing problems as there are entities in some sectors of the economy that are enjoying relative success.
We cannot bracket every institution or every industry with the statement that was uttered by Mr. Mangujga. There are some industries that are performing well. Those companies must also share whatever profits they've made with their workers.
Dewa also says there's a problem of huge salary discrepancies between top earners and the lowest paid workers in both the private and public sectors in the country, which needs to be addressed. Reporting for Studio 7 from Gweru, this is Taurai Shava.
The MDC formation of former Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai today called for the resignation of Vice President Phelekezela Mphoko following his recent remarks that the Gugurahundi massacre was a conspiracy of the West, thereby exonerating President Robert Mugabe's involvement. In a strongly worded statement and adding to recent outrage by human rights activists, MDCT spokesman Obed Gudu said Mphoko's remarks are, quote, in extreme bad taste, insensitive and grossly offensive to both the victims and survivors of the genocide, unquote. Gudu tells reporter Standekile Mhlanga that Mphoko's remarks are unfortunate and ironic, considering that he is also the Minister of National Healing.
To start with, there was the Dumbuchena Commission of Inquiry. There was also the Chiambakwe Commission of Inquiry. So we are saying the mere fact that those reports were not made public does clearly indicate that there was something amiss regarding the activities of the North Korean trained 5th Brigade in the Midlands and the Matabeleland provinces.
Your party likens the works of the 5th Brigade to that of Al-Shabaab, ISIS and Boko Haram. How did you come up with this?
Some of us have had an opportunity to go through the report that was compiled by the Catholic Commission for Justice and Peace. There is evidence to show that pregnant women were actually bayoneted in their stomach and that they would then be thrown into open graves and their husbands and relatives would be forced to bury them. There was also an uncontroverted report to the effect that war families would be forced to dig their own graves and then they would be thrown into the graves and other villagers would then be forced to bury them alive.
Well, that was MDCT spokesman Obed Gudu on the line from Harare. Meanwhile, a pressure group, Ibechu LikaZulu, last week filed an urgent chamber application at the Bulawayo High Court challenging the police ban on its Gugurahundi commemorations.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our hosts Ntungamili Nkomo and Tatenda Gumbo will be discussing on the youth connection and employment problems in Zimbabwe.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Now to recap today's top stories.
The Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, or PTUZ, says the Zimbabwe Republic Police has denied it permission to stage a peaceful march to commemorate the internationally recognized Global Day of Action.
Some Zimbabwean groups are expected this Saturday to stage street protests in London to call for President Robert Mugabe to step down for what they say is his failure to address serious issues affecting the nation.
And Secretary General Priscilla Msiyimirambwe Mshonga of the MDC wing led by Welshman Ncube has stepped down.
That's our broadcast this evening. And I'll stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Jonga Kandemiri in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.